In today's Torah portion, Vayetzeh, we find Jacob in a dangerous and complicated place. So in the previous Torah portion, under the guidance of his mother, he had used deceit to gain the blessing that his father meant for Esau, his older brother. Now, this, of course, makes his brother furious, and he's determined that once Esau and Jacob's father, Isaac, dies, he's going to kill Jacob. Okay? Rebekah learns of Esau's intent, so she and Isaac send Jacob off to Padan Aram so that Jacob can find a wife from amongst his cousins, the daughters of Laban. All right? It's just one of those stories where, you know, if Jerry Springer had been around at the time, he'd be calling them up, "Hey, can I get you guys on the show? This sounds interesting." It's complicated stuff going on here. You got Jacob and Esau issue, and you've got the father loves Esau more, the mother loves Jacob more. It's just a complicated, sticky, yucky Jerry Springer kind of situation. Things are a mess. And Jacob's on this trip, and we find him in today's Torah portion, Genesis 18. I'm going to read verses 10 and 11 here. You find Jacob on the journey. We find him about to go to sleep. Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. He came to a certain place and stayed there all night because the sun had set. He took one of the stones of the place and put it under his head, and he lay down in that place to sleep. Okay, this was probably not a pillow, actually. Some of the more modern translations translate this a little more accurately. It's not under his head, probably, but beside his head. Okay? And how do we know this? Just from the terminology, but also we see it like in 1 Samuel 26:7, the same word there, where Saul puts a spear beside his head, right? He probably did not use a spear for a pillow, I'm guessing. So he has a stone beside his head. Probably why? Why would you put a stone beside your head before you go to sleep? I don't know. Maybe for protection. Maybe you're worried about an animal coming to get you in the night. You want something to throw at the animal, scare it away. He wants protection. What is on Jacob's mind here in this journey? What is on his mind is safety. Let me put a stone by my head. Let me get away from my brother who wants to kill me, for goodness sakes. Let me have safety. That's on his mind, safety. Okay, what else is on his mind? Probably hope I don't get lost. God forbid I should have to ask somebody for directions. Hope I find the wife that God wants me to find. These are the things on his mind. Normal guy, human kind of thoughts are on his mind. I'd like to teach you a Hebrew word. You may already know it. The word is hine. Can you say hine?
Hine.
Anybody know what hine means? It means behold. Usually it's usually translated behold, right? Something big, right? Like we sing, behold, God is my salvation. The Tree of Life Bible, rather in this passage, rather than translating it, behold, they translate it suddenly or surprisingly differently in the different verses. But we see here in the passage I'm about to read, Genesis 28, 12 through 15, we see the word hine several times. Okay? And when I say the word behold, I want you guys to give me the Hebrew hine. Okay? Genesis 28, 12 through 15. He dreamed, behold, a stairway set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. Behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. Behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Yitzhak, the land whereon you lie. To you will I give it, and to your seed. Your seed will be as the dust of the earth, and you will spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And you and in your family will all the families of the earth be blessed. Behold, I am with you, and will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you again into this land. For I will not leave you until I have done that which I have spoken of to you. Okay? Behold, it just happens so often, trying to grab our attention. Behold, something great is happening here in the middle of his normal human concerns. His normal human concerns. Hope I don't get lost. Hope I find a wife. Hope I am protected and that an animal doesn't eat me. Hope my brother doesn't kill me. In the middle of this, behold, 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 behold. Not expecting this stuff. This is, I think the Tree of Life Bible gets it right when it says suddenly and surprisingly. It wants to give you the sense that something's breaking into his normal life to upset things, to stir things up. And it's God setting up a stairway that goes from heaven to earth. And God and the angels and ascending and descending, going up and down on it, and God up at the top, and behold, now God gets the turn of saying, behold, behold, I am with you. Behold, I am with you. Stop worrying about this other stuff. I am with you. Right? And I want you to understand, Jacob, that these things that you're worried about is not what life is about. Jacob doesn't get this yet. He doesn't even get it after this dream. But we see the Genesis gives us a wonderful character development of Jacob. And we see that spirituality in him growing and growing in him throughout the years until he finally gets it. What matters, what I need to be concerned about is not, is a lion going to get me? Is my brother going to get me? Am I going to have enough sheep and flocks and goats? Not that stuff, but am I receiving the blessing and am I passing it down to my descendants? That blessing that he receives and that he gives out. Yes, he connived to get his father's blessing, but what's going on in his mind is not, oh, let me get the spiritual blessing and be close to God, but let me get the blessing of the physical stuff that comes with it, right? Until he grows up and he realizes, wait, life is not about the flocks. But it takes God bursting in on the scene with that, behold, 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 behold. Four times in that passage, behold, wake up, Jacob, to the reality of life. The reality is you are going to be a blessing on the earth. You're going to be that place where people can come to and see the ladder that connects heaven and earth. John chapter 2, verses 13 through 21. The Pesach of the Yehudim, the Passover of the Jews, was at hand. And Yeshua went up to Jerusalem. He found in the temple those who sold, He found in the temple those who sold oxen, sheep, and doves, and the changers of money sitting. He made a whip of cords and threw all out of the temple, both the sheep and the oxen, and he poured out the changers' money and overthrew their tables. To those who sold the doves, he said, take these things out of here. Don't make my father's house a marketplace. To his Talmidim, his disciples remembered that it was written, zeal for your house will eat me up. The Jews therefore answered him, what sign do you show to us, seeing that you do these things? Yeshua answered them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. The Jews therefore said, 46 years was this temple in building, and will you raise it up in 3 days? But he spoke of the temple of his body. All right, the money changers were doing what? The money changers were doing their normal human thing, buying and selling and trading, not necessarily bad stuff, okay? But the location was bad. The location was bad. They are in the midst of the place where heaven meets earth, and you're taking up space. And you can't do this outside of the temple grounds. You have to come into the temple grounds, probably, according to most scholars, probably in that area where the nations, the Gentiles, are invited to come in and worship. You're taking up that space out of convenience. You're turning the house of God into a marketplace for you to buy and sell because you are concerned on the same things Jacob was concerned about before the vision. And Jacob's vision, finally it makes sense to the Jewish people. Finally it makes sense to Jacob, and he passes it on to the descendants about that dream I had. How did it end up in the Bible? Because Jacob passes it on. We start to see the dream and understand the dream that the Jewish people and those that God calls are not here to just look side to side about the horizontal concerns. The food. Let me make sure I have food. Let me make sure I have money in the bank. Let me make sure I have the wife, the this, the that, the horizontal. If God was only concerned about the horizontal stuff rather than a connection with heaven, he would have stopped creation with the animals. Because that's animalistic stuff. Maybe more sophisticated, maybe more definitely more complicated. I have animals and they're much less complicated than raising humans. But guys, we're not here for that stuff. We need it. God understands we need it. I understand we need it, right? Good to have money in the bank, not saying that. But when you take up holy space with concerns for the horizontal stuff rather than the vertical connection, the vertical ladder between heaven and earth, you're failing in your mission. And Yeshua sometimes has to come in with that whip and whip us into shape. You are called for something higher than this, and you are only worried about making sure this happens and that happens and this bill's paid. You are called for something greater. And if we don't wake up to it, then sometimes he takes that whip and he's got to whip it into us. Stop living like the pagans. In Matthew chapter 6, he says the pagans pursue this stuff. Your heavenly Father knows that you need it. But what are you to do? Seek first the kingdom of heaven. Are you seeking first the kingdom of heaven? If not, then don't be surprised when he has to make the whip, right? Because he wants you to get it. He wants you to live life to the fullest. And sometimes it takes a little roughing up, unfortunately, when we're stubborn, to get you to see. Your life was made for more than this. You are not a sophisticated animal. You are a spiritual being. You are a human being made for connection with that Jacob's ladder kind of connection. The angels going up and down and seeing God there. And stop worrying about the lions. Jacob, don't worry about that stuff. I'm going to bring you back to this land because I have promised a blessing to you and through you, and that needs to be your concern, receiving that blessing, extending that blessing. And instead, we take up the temple courts and the places where other people are supposed to come and worship and where people are supposed to see God in us, and they come to us and they don't see God in us, they see us worried. Hope this happens, hope that happens, and instead, no, God says, I'll take care of that stuff. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek these things, right? Seek these things. I'm pretty convinced that we've been brainwashed. I really think we've been brainwashed. Our whole society, I think we're brainwashed. I think we have to deprogram. We have to deprogram, okay? Who told us that what a celebrity does in Hollywood is more important than a teacher who stays after school to help a child having trouble? Right? On my way to work one day, I saw the garbage truck coming around picking up the garbage, and there was a house where they had forgotten to put their cans out. And the garbage man takes time to walk to the side of the house, pull out the trash cans, empty them, and then put them back, right? He didn't have to do that. They didn't put out their trash cans. This is more important in God's economy than people with millions of fans acting in the greatest TV shows. Those acts of love those acts of kindness. This is what is important to the Lord. The humble service that doesn't draw the attention to the self or seek the attention for the self. Philippians 2, 1 through 8. If there is therefore any exhortation in Messiah, if any consolation of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any tender mercies and compassion, make my joy full that you be of the same mind, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind, doing nothing through rivalry or through conceit, but in humility, each counting others better than himself. Can you do that? Can you count others as more important than yourself? Writes the child. I didn't get what I wanted for Hanukkah, and they get all mopey. That's a childish thing that sometimes we need to grow out of ourselves, right? I didn't get what I wanted for dinner. Let me throw a fit. That's a kid thing. That's a normal kid thing that they've got to grow out of. Well, we have to grow out of it sometimes too. Can we count others as better? Hey, it's not about me. It's about me. I've received the blessing. Let me give the blessings and humility to others. Each of you not just looking to his own things, but each of you also to the things of others. Have this in your mind, which was also in Messiah Yeshua, who existing in the form of God, okay? Like I said earlier, this is not a man. This is Yeshua existing in the form of God, didn't consider it robbery to be equal with God, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being made in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself, becoming obedient to death. Yes, the death of the cross. The cross only makes sense if this is God revealing himself to mankind. The cross only makes sense. Otherwise, he died for nothing. Because a man cannot save us, but a God. I love my children so much. Right? I love you, Dallas, Lone, Mitchell, April. I love you so much. Insert your name. That I'm going to humble myself to the point of death, the most excruciating kind of death, by the way, on the cross to make atonement for your sins. So when that trash man takes the time to go to the side of the house and pull the trash can out, the Bible says he's acting in line with Messiah. And he may not have an aisle in the grocery store with tabloids saying, garbage man goes extra mile to take out trash. He might not get that, but he gets the approval of God. You have gone out of your way to show love. You are walking in the footsteps of Messiah. You understand the connection of heaven and earth comes through humility and not through popularity. You understand the connection of God and you've extended it to others. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have done what I did on the cross. And so we've been brainwashed not to see that. Okay? And I've said it before, forgive me for repeating myself. My spirituality grew the day I stopped complaining about our cats and just cleaned the cat boxes when they needed to be cleaned, right? Sometimes I still make a joke about the cats. But I don't complain about the cats anymore. I don't say I didn't want them, and the kids aren't, why am I having to do that? I just do the cat box. It is a spiritual maturing thing for me to just do the cat box. And I, believe it or not, I am falling in line with the humility of Messiah serving my family in the way of love, because I understand that the connection between heaven and earth is not through me getting my way or my house being the way I need my house to be. It is through the humility and the love that Messiah showed on the cross. Who says that the president is more powerful than people who take time to feed the hungry at a homeless shelter? Who says that the president is more powerful than somebody preaching the word of God? The world says that, but the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible understands power. Romans 12:10. In love of the brothers, be tenderly affectionate to one another, in honor preferring one another. Those who say, you know what, I'm going to take out my time and feed the hungry. I'm going to take out my time and preach the word. This is power, because this is connecting heaven and earth. This is connecting heaven and earth. Okay, the president can command a million ships and planes and people. Okay, and destroy this and destroy that and whatever. Okay, that's power. Okay, there's some power there. But he cannot, unless he's a believer. A president cannot connect heaven and earth for other people like we can through our humble, simple, beautiful service. And we fail to see the power that God has given us in showing love to others and in showing the way of Messiah Yeshua to others. And we think, oh, the powerful people are in Hollywood. The powerful people are in Washington, D.C. and at the UN building. The powerful people are at the World Bank. The powerful people are sitting in this room. You and I are the powerful people because we have connected with heaven through Yeshua. We have connected with Him. What does it say in John chapter 1, verse 50, forgive me, I don't have it ready here. John chapter 1, verse 51. And Yeshua said, truly, truly, I tell you, speaking to his disciples, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God going up and coming down on the Son of Man. A clear allusion. Right, just like we read in the Haftorah, in the Brit Chadasha portion today, a clear allusion to Jacob's ladder. Jacob saw and became the connection between heaven and earth. God's going to bless Jacob and his descendants. He's going to help people to see heaven. Yeshua is the ladder, right? Yeshua is that connection. We have it. And therefore, we have the power through simple service, through simple love, through simple words. Hey, would you like to know God? Would you like to have your sins wiped away? Through speaking, through acting in humble love. Instead of crowding up the temple courts with our daily concerns, hope I have enough food, hope this bill gets paid, hope that bill gets paid. Yes, I understand we need to, I'm not saying stop paying your bills. I'm not saying that. I'm saying don't let that be the driving force of your life. That's just being a sophisticated animal. Be a spiritual being. To understand, Lord, through Yeshua, I have been connected with God. Now, let me do as you say. And in a simple, humble love, speak and do the things that extend the kingdom of God. Matthew 6:33, but seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, and all these other things will be taken care of, right? Seek his kingdom and seek his righteousness. What are we, his followers, supposed to do? Are we like Jacob before the vision? Or like the money changers before Yeshua charges through the temple grounds? Think about it. What is your life about? Are we like the pagans? Yeshua says the pagans run after these things. They're worried. They run after clothing. They run after food. They run after drink. They're worried. Your heavenly Father provides for you. So seek the deeper spiritual things. That is what is good. That is what's popular in God's eyes. That is what's powerful. That is what's meaningful. In God's eyes. What are you focused on? Gotta find a spouse. Gotta find a job. Okay, these are good things. But don't focus on that. That's not your life. Gotta be protected. Okay? We are to seek first his kingdom of heaven. The word hine. Right? Happen again and again. Bam. Jacob, hine. Bam. Jacob, hine, bam, listen up. Almost like God slapping him awake, right? Hine, 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 wake up. to who you are, to what I've called you to. Didn't you understand what I said through your grandfather Abraham? Didn't you understand what I said through Isaac? You are made for more than this, Jacob. You are made for more than the horizontal things of the earth. You're made for that vertical connection with the Lord. Wake up. And the Lord says the same thing to you and to I. Wake up. Didn't you understand what I wrote to you in the Word of God? Don't you understand what your rabbi is saying to you? Don't you understand what your parents, your grandparents said to you? You are made for more than this. Let every part of your life be infused with the fact that Yeshua has connected you to God. Through him, your sins are wiped away. He is the ladder. He said, you'll see the angels ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Okay, Lord, what does that mean? I don't understand that. He means, I am the ladder. I am your heavenly connection. Don't crowd up the temple courts with your day-to-day concerns. Jacob doesn't quite get it at first. Okay, begins to start seeing it. He doesn't quite get it at first. At the end of his life, he realizes that what is important is not getting the pretty wife or the flocks or the sheep and the goats. What ultimately matters is that he receive the blessing of the Lord and he give it out to others. He gets it. The disciples don't get it at first. Walking with Yeshua, they ask some bizarre questions. Lord, who gets to sit at your side when you reign? Okay, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of heaven? They don't understand the simple, humble love. They're going to be called to even to death to show that humble love before the earth that they might see that they have a connection with heaven. Eventually, they get it. It's not the greatest blessing to be the greatest, nor to rule and reign on the earth. The greatest blessing is to be connected with Yeshua. To rise above the horizontal plane as Yeshua came down to earth, that we might be lifted up. That's why he's got to be more than just a rabbi, more than just a prophet. This is God reaching down saying, this is my ladder to you. And we grab a hold of it. So today we ask ourselves, what is my life about? We need to think about that. What is it about? Is it about being a sophisticated animal, a godly pagan, okay, and worried about the things of the world? Or is it being what God has created you to be, somebody that can receive the love of God? He didn't stop creation with the animals. He didn't stop there. He stopped with mankind. He said, these are people with whom I can commune. This is a creation with whom I can put my spirit into. This is a creation that will see more than just at eye level, but will look up and receive from the Lord. God, remind me of that Hine moment, that time where I've given my life to Yeshua. Come into my life and help me overturn the money-changing tables that I'm so concerned about. And let me see that I'm living in the shadow of the great temple. The very ladder that connects heaven to earth and God to man is with me, for I am a child through Messiah. Help me in humility, through acts of kindness and mercy, through self-sacrifice and genuine compassion, through a word of love and wisdom, to extend the blessing of Jacob's ladder, of Yeshua, with those that you have placed in my life. In Yeshua's name we all say,